On my podcast, Aspire with Emma Greed, we share the keys to succeed in business and in life. Listen to and follow Aspire with Emma Greed, an Audacy podcast, wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome back, Midday Show. Hugh Douglas, Joe Gillo, Kyle Quinn in for Hugh today. Luke Nichols behind the glass for Kyle. You guys with us, 215-592-9494. We'll get back to all of that. People now are we angry about Jalen Hurts all of a sudden?
Yeah.
Wasn't even a Hurts show today.
Well,
what happened?
It always devolves into that.
It does.
Some way, shape, or form.
We like talking about Jalen. We'll get back to your phone calls here. Top five Sixers last 25 years. I went Iverson, Embiid, Iguodala, Drew Holiday, Tyrese Maxey. Is it crazy to have Ben Simmons on there? The poll question is leading me to believe some people do not think it's crazy to have him on there. We'll see where people come down on that. Top five Sixers last 25 years. All right, back to the phone calls in a minute. Of course, the swing off for the home run derby. Would you be okay and open to seeing it in a real game? We saw something else last night, though, that we will see in a real game, I think, as soon as the start of next season. That is the ABS system, the challenge system, Major League Baseball with the robots and the challenges and the strike zone. Let's hear our sentence last night. Manny Machado challenging a ball strike call.
Ball down.
Oh, what do you think?
That.
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't know if it can come from the. It can't come from the dugout, but it can come from the booth. I think it's going to work.
Let's see, Kyle. How'd you do? How'd you do?
I think it's a strike.
Automated balls and strikes, powered by T-Mobile's network.
That's messed up.
Hey, you take them any way you can get them, boys.
There we go.
All right, it's the first time we saw this in spring training, but now this is the first time in a game. You know, last night the All-Star game we saw. Did you like it?
I'm ready to see it in the playoffs this year. That was so smooth.
It was
so
smooth.
Painless. Like, man, I loved seeing the umpires get humbled. Make the right calls, or you're going to be out of here. Like, so we've had this conversation about the robot umps and the ABS system, and it's not like true to the, you know, I've been the baseball purist for a while here, but nobody really argues with umpires anymore to an entertaining level anyway.
I miss it.
But something that Larry Anderson always brings up, I think, has stuck with me, is that things would be different, and I think we'd all be okay with sticking with umpires, no robots, if the umpires were held accountable for when they were really bad.
And that's what this does.
And like, right. Like, they're not. What's his name? Phil Cuzzy had an awful game. He's out there the very next time.
Right.
It's his turn, umpiring. There's no accountability whatsoever. I love the fact that this humbles them. And it almost... You know, we talked about tipping the weenie scale with the Sixers, lighting a fire under Embiid's ass, these old guys. Maybe this will light a fire under the umpire's ass. Make better calls.
So a couple things from last night. One, I did think it moved quickly, and I like that. And we're going to get this, so we have to start getting used to what it's going to look like. That was good. Two, I do like keeping them accountable. But I saw a quote from Paul Skeens where he said he doesn't know how much he's going to do it because he doesn't want to challenge the umpires.
Yeah.
Because you do have – there is a human element to it. Like, if you challenge them and they're right – I'm like, come on. Like,
and think about this. I guess you only get two, and then you get a third if you're right.
Yes.
What if you exhaust them early on, and then the ump holds a grudge, like Phil Cuzzy's been known to do?
Right.
You don't get that outside of the box anymore.
So because you only get a certain amount per game, do you think the Phillies should only allow certain guys? Like, when Schwarber thinks it's a strike, I trust Schwarber.
Yes.
Harper's
got to... You're not letting Rojas do it.
Castellanos is not allowed to challenge. The guy has no idea what a ball and a strike is.
I could also see him being like... Very impulsive and emotional.
I know.
Like
I could see Boehm doing that, too.
Yeah,
oh, yeah.
Oh, for sure. Right. So, yeah, that is interesting. And
but you
I
can't
think,
tell a veteran player. Like, you
no.
can't, they can't really tell Castellanos you're not allowed. If
you
he feels it, he's going to do it.
You would have to designate. I think if I'm the Phillies, I look at everybody's on-base percentage, and I do a cut line, almost like they do in golf. If you are above this line in your on-base percentage...
Casting, you're below the line. Sorry, buddy.
I trust you to make this challenge.
That's going to be the most fascinating thing is which players use it the most and do they get it right? And I really could see, you know, like Luke said, Boehm, Castellanos, impulsive hitters that are going to think they're right and they're going to make a mistake and they're going to cost the team a challenge.
And now, to be fair, the other side of this is it is a little bit anticlimactic when it happens on like a strike three.
Yeah.
Because there is something to the ump doing the whole like...
So let's go to that. Let's say the ninth inning ends on a strike three, and then tap the helmet. No, challenge that one. It'll lose some of the gusto.
It will, but then also, but again, because I'm discovering today that a lot of these scenarios, I envision what I'm doing if I walk into here and who I'm talking to and how angry everybody is. If we're getting screwed by something like that in the ninth inning where we know, like just the other day against the Giants, we all came in here freaking out
it was best
about that umpire. Like imagine that happening in a playoff game.
There's also the other side, though. We could, you know, it doesn't always going to work out for us, right? Like, what if we're getting the good calls and then they tap the helmet and we lose it?
But fair is fair.
Yeah, I guess.
I mean, I don't know if I'm going to even the playing field for both sides. Like, that's a reality that I'm going to have to live with. I mean, this is 100% coming.
Yes,
home run swing off thing. You know, I doubt it, but less than zero chance. This is going to be here next season.
Luke, do you like it? The ABS system?
I don't like it because of the reason you just mentioned. How it just kind of takes some of the gusto, it takes like the hype out of the moment. It happened last night. It was the top of the ninth inning when the AL was, you know, mounting that comeback. Stephen Kwan got on base and then stole second. And then he got stranded on second because, you know, Diaz threw a strike three that was called a ball. He called for the challenge. It was called a strike. Inning over just like that. It just completely ruined the moment for me. So I don't want guys just constantly doing this, tapping their heads, like in the NBA, anytime you have a foul, you see guys waving their fingers like this. They're going nuts.
I forget who it was. It might have been Nick Wright. I saw someone say that they should give a technical foul if you wave your finger in the NBA too. It's every single foul. Challenge it. Shut up.
The umpires get sensitive. They're not going to like that.
They're not going to like it. Yeah.
And the umpires will be sensitive. They will hold a grudge if their calls keep getting overturned, and say like the Phillies keep challenging and the Phillies keep getting it right, the umpire is just going to be more kind of ticky-tack and particular whenever the Phillies are pitching.
My guess is hitters are going to challenge more, and they're going to say, whatever, if I get it right. I think pitchers are going to be more liberal about doing it. Or more conservative. I could see Wheeler like only doing it if he really thinks he got screwed and not just like not kind of being touchy-feel with the umpire and pissing him off.
Well, so should they let the catcher do it?
Well, the catcher would know.
He has the by far the best view. But then that also is like, is that too easy? It should come from the manager who's got a side view.
Right. But the manager's not allowed, right? It's got to be the players.
Right. But like, I'm just workshopping it. Like, what if he could only judge based off of his player's reaction and whether or not he trusts his player? Because then it's like, Topper shouldn't have trusted him.
Yeah.
Well, like, that adds another element.
Like, almost a captain of challenges.
Right.
Who's allowed to do it?
Yeah. And like, how good is Topper actually? He's supposed to be a player's manager. How good is he at reading his player's emotions and reacting appropriately and trusting the right guys? I mean, talk about pushing the right buttons. You guys brought up, and I agree to an extent, it loses some gusto. It is a little bit anticlimactic, but that was us coming from a perspective of an objective viewer. If you're a Phillies fan and say Kirkering throws a strike that's clearly a strike, the umpire calls it a ball. We challenge it. It gets overturned to a strike, and it's strike three, and we win the game in the ninth. We're not going to be like, oh, that wasn't as cool. We're going to be celebrating just like the Phillies won a playoff game.
Agreed. But there's also the other side. Kirkering throws strike three. We're celebrating. The ump's throwing, and then they tap the helmet. They review it. Oh, actually, ball four.
Okay.
And then, like, I know ignorance can be bliss. Like, I think about the highlights you see now of the old days. The game ended on a walk-off hit or a play at home plate, and he's safe. The more replay we have, the less it feels real because you have to go to the replay first, right? It's like in the NFL. Like, wait, did they throw a flag?
Yeah.
Are they going to review this? It's like it loses a little bit of the...
So,
like, Brad Lidge's strike three to end the World Series.
Yes,
I know it was awesome.
Yeah, they imagined that moment.
I know. It was different. But, like, imagine if that could have been a challenge. Like,
right.
Yeah, they still win the World Series, but you lose that moment.
It does make it less, like, iconic, I suppose.
Everyone stop! Okay, now you get cheered.
Right. It does remind me, though, that scenario you brought up of, in the NFL, when, say, a wide receiver's making a catch along the sidelines, and you get super hyped because he came down with it, you saw him catch the ball in his hands.
But you got to wait.
Then all of a sudden, you show the replay, and you see that his second foot was out of bounds.
Like,
that's exactly, I think, the feeling that we'd all have. But I don't know. Like, I just...
I'm Emma Greed, and I've spent the last 20 years building, running, and investing in some incredible businesses. The more success I've had, the more people started coming to me with questions. How do you start a business? How do you raise money? How do I bounce back from failure? On my new podcast, Aspire with Emma Greed, I'll be answering these questions and more through weekly conversations with the smartest minds out there. Listen to and follow Aspire with Emma Greed, an Odyssey podcast, available now, wherever you get your podcasts.
It just made it everything so much like the umpires had to get humbled a little bit, and it was so smooth the way that they were able to pull it off. Like, I don't know. I think I'm starting to have convinced myself that it's just better for the game, for the product as a whole, if they just go to this in the playoffs. Not full robot umpires, like not the lines where almost like in tennis where everything's just automated. But I do like the idea because this is kind of a happy medium where you have the umpire who still gets to make the calls. you still get a little consternation between the player and the umpire.
Which I like.
Yeah, and like the umpire, look, this might even tick the umpire off a little bit more.
Mm-hmm.
And if the umpire holds a grudge against you and, say, screws you over later because he didn't like how often you were challenging
and
frequently in the game.
And maybe you're out of challenges then.
And then you get another Schwarber freakout because he knows the umpire's got it out for him.
So what if I'm an umpire and you challenged twice on me and you called me out and you were wrong both times?
Yeah.
Am I going to, when I know you're out of challenges, am I going to screw you later?
Get right, like, some guys might.
What are you going to do about it? You have no challenges left.
Then you might see some guys get tossed.
Yeah.
Then we got both.
Well, that could be fun. Yeah, I mean, I've accepted this is going to happen as soon as next season. All right, let's go back to the phone lines here. 215-592-9494. A lot to discuss. We go to Jay in West Philly. What's up, Jay?
Hey, he's taking up all my time talking about this stuff. Now, look.
All your time.
Yeah, Kyle. Now, look. Mm-hmm. What's this fascination you got with this list that Jalen on?
Well, it's interesting. I mean, that's all.
Well, what's your fascination? Why? You called in about it.
No, because I'm trying to figure out why y'all talking about it. Now, how many? There's only one starting quarterback, right, on the team?
Yes, and that's Jalen Hurts.
Okay, so all these guys that's on the list, they're not starting for the Eagles, right?
Well, no, they're on other teams.
Oh, okay. All right. So we the Super Bowl champs, but we worried about where he fall at on the list?
Well, no, I'm not worried about it. I think he's placed. I don't think it's a big deal where he's right.
Hold on, Joe. We're the Super Bowl champs?
Yeah, they won the Super Bowl.
Oh.
In New Orleans against the Chiefs.
I totally forgot.
No, because this list is what? The executives or people in the league, right?
Coaches, executive scouts, yep.
Mm, okay. All right. These are the same people that none of these quarterbacks that's ranked 1 through 4, were they drafted number one overall?
No.
Okay, so that means some executives could be wrong, right? These are the same executives that said Lamar was a wide receiver.
Well, I get potentially, yeah. I don't know who they are, but potentially, yeah.
But my thing is, like, they polling these people, like I said, this is just a waste of time until football season game. Because these people, they poll or taking polls and votes and all that, they could all be wrong, right?
Or they could be right, yeah. I mean, right, like, I could say the same thing, that they're accurate.
Okay, and then these are the same people. I'm guessing that you can't vote on your own player, right?
I didn't see that as part of the criteria. I don't know that.
Oh, okay. Because there might be some people that are just putting them down there just because we win it, and they mad. So I don't put no stock in these polls. All I know is that we got one of the best quarterbacks in the league. And over the last 3 years, I think he was voted the best, most efficient quarterback as far as yards per play.
So of all the things you've said, Jay, and say on with these lists, I agree with you on one of the last things you said. The Eagles have one of the better quarterbacks in the NFL, and they win a lot of football games. I'm with you on that, and that's really what matters. When we brought up the list a couple days ago, I said I didn't think he's being disrespected. Like, you could put him 5, you could put him 6, 7, 8, 9. I had him 6, but I don't think any of this is disrespect. Like, Jay, if he was ranked 15th, I think that's ridiculous. He's obviously better than that. If he was ranked 20th, that's ridiculous. He's obviously better than that. But I don't think anyone's out to get him. I just think that's what people think of him in the NFL.
Well, they're wrong because they all those teams lost.
Well, their teams lost.
About that.
Yeah, they're not talking about wins and losses.
It's the Eagles fans who are right because they've never been wrong about any player ever.
No, Kyle, you got a point there. I'm just talking about why we're fascinated when we got a winning quarterback. When, you know, that's the biggest thing. I'm not worried about where he fall at on the list because all these guys can put up stats and all that stuff.
You are worried about it, though. Like, you're calling us about it. You've been calling us about it.
I'm talking about it because every day is Jalen. Every day is Jalen. Jay,
he's the quarterback of the Philadelphia Eagles. Every day was Carson. Every day was Donovan. I mean, he's the number one athlete in the city for a reason. He's the quarterback of the football team.
And by the way, did you not just complain about us taking up your time that you wanted to use to talk about Jalen Hurts while we were talking about the automated balls and strike system? You called in about Jalen. We'll talk about Jalen. We'll make it about us.
Kyle, really, I was just saying that because y'all was filibustering because he was like, I'm up next. And I'm
Thanks for ducking him.
Jay, you figured it out. You know, Jay, I don't have to put you up on the air. Like, I take your calls because maybe I'm crazy. I enjoy the back and forth, Jay. Maybe I'm the crazy one. But, like, we didn't have to take your call. I took it because I wanted to take your call about Jalen Hurts.
On that, I just think there's such a disconnect. This is what I've noticed throughout this entire offseason, all the Jalen Hurts discourse. People can't separate every single person here that roots for the Philadelphia Eagles if you just ask them, does it matter where Jalen Hurts is listed? The answer is no.
Right.
It doesn't matter. I agree with all those people. Like, at the end of the day, who cares? But there's something different here. Like, as sports fans, we like ranking things. We like debating who's better than this guy. The only ever time I remember this becoming a problem now is because people are sensitive about where Jalen Hurts is ranked in these lists. We should all be happy. I am happy that we have a team and a quarterback that we're capable of winning a Super Bowl with. Like, that's okay. But if we're having the discussion, if you ask me where I rank him, I'm going to put him in the appropriate spot. I'm going to put him where I think he belongs. Like, that should be okay with everybody.
So, and I think the reality is people care a lot. I mean,
of course they do.
Yeah, I mean, maybe we shouldn't, but people care a lot because all I've seen for 2 months now, because there's been different lists, right? The PFF all the way to this week with the ESPN one is people are upset. They are annoyed right. at where he's ranked because they feel like he should be higher than wherever he is with Chris right. Sims or ESPN or whoever. What I think is interesting the most of this is there continues to be that disconnect you said, and it's not like if Chris Sims was the only one that had him 10 and everyone else has him 2,
yeah.
then I'd be like, yeah, maybe Sims is right. just pushing buttons.
Yeah.
But Sims is like the scouts in the NFL or like, you know, closer to ESPN or whatever. Like, they all see him as good, not great.
Yeah.
And we here in this bubble see him as more great.
And I think people are just lying to themselves. Because if you truly were of the mindset that having a Super Bowl winning quarterback and team is all that matters to you, then you should see these lists and you should say, I don't give a crap.
Well, I also think it's a compliment to the rest of the Eagles.
Right, sure.
Right, they don't need necessarily the best quarterback in the league to win. It's a compliment to Howie and Nick and the roster they've built.
And we don't. But, like, everybody who wants to just pretend that the only thing that matters are wins and losses, you're lying to yourself because you see this list and you get your you-know-what in a bunch about it and you have to, you know how I feel about it.
I'm not trying
to discourage people from calling in about Jalen Hurts, but like there's a little bit of a disconnect here.
Yeah, and I think it's okay to care. I mean, if you care, if it bothers you, we'll talk about it. The other thing I find interesting is, you know, the other contenders in the NFC, like, they're all like the Hurts thing, right? Mm-hmm. Like, Stafford's not ranked a top five quarterback, and the Rams are looked at as a Super Bowl contender.
Right.
Brock Purdy is not a top five quarterback. The 49ers have been in that caliber with him. Jared Goff, who's ranked right around Hurts in this list, he's not a top five guy, or at least not. He was six on the list, whatever. But, like, he's not in that top four. And the Lions, it's a team game. Like, to win the Super Bowl, it's a team game.
I know. And this is going to sound like a lot of, this is going to sound haterish. Mm. I would love to hear somebody try and talk me into Jalen Hurts being elite without the use of the word winner.
Can't do it.
Super Bowl, any of that
Why
stuff.
Why are you asking for things that are not going to happen right here?
I know. But look, I think it would be very difficult for people to bring that up. Whereas I think those two things, the winning and the Super Bowl, are team accomplishments. Give me something about Jalen Hurts that puts him in that elite category without bringing up what a team accomplishment.
Let's go to Bill Amaco. What's up, Bill?
Hey, Joe, how you doing?
Hey, Bill, what's up?
Not too much. I agree. The lists are crazy. They're fun to talk about. But what I do care about is that we at least stay honest about the debate. A couple of callers ago, you asked the question, next year if the Eagles came out and Jalen's throwing gangbusters,
mm-hmm.
would the Eagles continue to throw the ball? And the answer is obviously yes.
Yes.
But the follow-up question is, if they do that, are you going to come on the air and complain that Saquon is a bum and the Eagles have no running game? Because there's only, 50, 60 offensive snaps a game. They're going to feed it to whoever the most effective offensive weapon is. Last year, that effective weapon was Saquon. That doesn't mean Jalen was bad. So if next year Jalen's effective, are you going to come on and say Saquon's a bum?
No. So, Bill, I think it's fair the way you framed it, but I think there's a little thing missing from that. Bill, if we start the season and Jalen is very effective and Saquon goes from averaging 6 yards a carry to 3.5, I will say Saquon has slipped from last year. He's obviously not running the ball to the level he did last year. That's what people seem to leave out of September last year. It wasn't that, oh, Saquon's great, let's lean on him. It's Jalen's turning the ball over left and right. We're not winning these games. We have to shift. It seems like that's been left out. Like, it's almost like people want to say, Joe, the only reason they changed the offense because Saquon was great. great. No, they changed the offense because Jalen was turning it over when he was asked to throw 35 times a game.
7 turnovers in those 4 games.
That's the story that is being left out. And it's okay, they found their niche, and Jalen played very well in what they asked him to do. But that's what happened.
I don't think those need to be, it does make for good talk radio, but those aren't mutually exclusive. It could be both. They discovered that Jalen was struggling with the offense, but they had a workhorse in Saquon and the best offensive line.
But didn't they know that when the season began? Like,
No, I genuinely, Joe, I don't think they did because it was Saquon's first season with us. The tape they had on him was him running behind a garbage line in New York. You don't know how a running game is going to blend.
Bill, they signed him. They signed him as a top-of-the-market running back. They knew who they were getting in here.
They knew what they were hoping to get, but until they put it, they've signed a lot of people for a lot of money that didn't work. They signed Bryce Huff. How'd that work out for
them? So are you telling me that they expected it to not work and then pivoted when they found out it did? That doesn't make any sense to me.
No, that's such a disingenuous counter-argument. They were hoping for it, just like they were for Bryce Huff. And when they discovered whether or not it worked or they didn't, they adapted their strategy accordingly.
No, you don't sign somebody off of hope. You sign somebody off of expectations.
How'd that work with Huff?
Well, it didn't work out well, and they moved off of Huff immediately. You're giving me, like, I don't understand what the comparison is with Bryce Huff at all here. They signed Saquon Barkley to be what he was, and he was that.
Right, and then once they discovered that, and
they
once
did
they,
not maybe, just maybe discover it in right, 4 weeks.
Fair. Can we find a happy medium in this? I said it earlier, Bill. The Eagles are as into the analytics and math of football as any team in the NFL. It's why they've gone for fourth down so much over the years. It is clearly more efficient to throw the ball than run it. Even if you have the best running back in the league, you get more yards every time you throw than every time you run. It's just and it's not even close. Yet the Eagles became the heaviest running team in the NFL, knowing that, and with two great wide receivers. Why did they take that approach?
I think for a couple of reasons. Primarily, they zig when other teams zag. All these defenses were getting smaller to accommodate a passing league. And Howie saw the cards and said, look, I'm going to get ahead of this.
But then they would have done that. Bill, if they did that from week one, I'd be with you. They wanted to throw the ball. They wanted to throw the ball at a high level. And they realized, okay, Jalen can still win, and he's still effective, but in shorter doses. It's the same thing to me as what Russell Wilson was in Seattle. He was a winning quarterback, and he was an excellent quarterback. But they were better when he was throwing the ball 20 times, and they didn't win as much when he threw the ball 35 times. And they realized it, and they got to 2 Super Bowls. And I'm glad the Eagles realized it. But I can't twist myself into a pretzel to say he's just as good as Joe Burrow because the Eagles realized how to win.
Yeah, and I'm not the type that takes offense to a Russell Wilson comp.
I didn't mean it to offend. I actually think it's a compliment. Bill, what's your guess for Q's Clues for the Phillies tickets?
I think I got one too many coaches, but I'm going to go with Jason Peters.
Jason Peters, Bill, not it. We appreciate it. We got another clue for Q's Clues coming up on the other side. Your calls on all of this. And we got to finish the Phillies. Luke's going to throw a potential trade target at us. We'll play blind date style, see if we want to trade for this guy. Coming up on the other side, Midday Show, Sports Radio 94 WIP.
On my podcast, Aspire with Emma Greed, we share the keys to succeed in business and in life. Listen to and follow Aspire with Emma Greed and Odyssey Podcast wherever you get your podcasts.